Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Well, we are glad you're here. Just like the loop just said, I want to encourage you to make plans to be here this Wednesday night. We're starting our prayer nights. Man, it's been so good. Man, this morning is such a treat, and I'm sitting, I feel like I'm reclining. I need to sit up straight. Here we go. Is that straight enough? My mom would say, put your shoulders back. Keep your back straight. This morning is such a treat to have Pastor Charity with me. And we're going to spend some time talking about worship. How many love worship? I hope you do. It's why you're alive. But before we do, I wanted to just let you know about something that I'm actually thrilled to share today with you, that as most of you know, that prior to me stepping in the role of lead pastor here at Hope, I had been the worship pastor for 17 years. When Christy and I came, we had came to be the worship pastors, and as I began to prepare for this transition and stepping into this new role, one of the first things that I began to pray about was, Lord, who do you have to step into the role of worship pastor here at Hope? And so I just began to pray about that, because worship is kind of important at Hope, right? It's kind of important to the Church of Jesus Christ. And so I just began to ask the Lord about that, and he just made it so clear to me that he had brought that person that was going to be the worship pastor here, the next one, about 13 years ago. And he'd been preparing that person all of these years for this moment that we find ourselves in. And I'm thrilled to announce to you today, thrilled to tell you today, that that person is actually sitting right next to me. And I want to introduce you, Hope Church, to your new lead worship pastor, Charity Herman. Woo! Come on. You don't have to stand for yourself. Yeah. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. As you know, Charity is incredibly gifted, right? She is an incredible songwriter. She's recorded like 7 albums. You should buy them. I think you can find them on hopechurch.net, most of them, or charityherman.com. Just plug in her stuff here. Her songs have impacted our church in such a significant way. Many of you don't realize, but many of your favorite songs Charity actually wrote with many others in this congregation. And I just want to say this. I told her, I'm going to say some nice things about you, so just pretend like you're not in pain as I say them. Because I said, just smile, so the camera records you smiling. But she is one of the very most creative people that I know. She is, when I say this, I don't say things like this lightly. She literally is like a musical genius. And musically, vocally, and that's a good smile. As a worship leader, and I believe she's one of the most gifted people on the planet. I really do. She is one of the most gifted people on the planet. She could go anywhere. She could be anywhere, literally, with her gifts and her call and all that she carries. She could be in a church of 20,000 people, but the Lord has her here. Yeah. And I hope you know the absolute treasure that we have in her. But with all that said, and it does need to be said, the most unique and special part of Charity is her absolute love for Jesus. I've been a witness to her life. I've been a witness to her love for Jesus. I've been a witness to her desire as a worshiper to be with the Lord. How many think it's a good thing if your worship pastor likes to be with Jesus? Yeah. And she has such a ginormous desire for the presence of God in her life, in her family's life, in her home. She has such a passion for the presence of God to fill the church and really to fill the nations of the earth. She's a worshiper first, so she's not just gifted. As you know, she carries such a great anointing. And that anointing that's on her life opens up places in God for all of us when we worship together. And we experience that week after week. So I was just going to say this. Charity and Christy and I have been the best of friends for over 2 decades. That's a long time. We're getting up there. She's truly been a sister to me. She's family to me. And it started with an internship she did with me back at the first church I was on staff with. And she came in and did her college internship with me. She was in our wedding. And we've been at the birth of each other's children. I mean, I wasn't in the room. I was outside of the room, actually. That's another story. We have walked through so much in life together, and I could go on and on. And the reason that I share that to you guys is that I believe, and we believe, that the kingdom of God is family. The kingdom of God is not business. We're not running a business here. We're doing family together. We're doing life together. And we have a history as a family in God together. And I'm thrilled that we both get to step into this new season together with a beautiful foundation of 20 years of friendship and godly relationship and doing life in Jesus together. So what you're going to experience over the next months and years obviously is vertical, but it also comes out of deep relationship. When the worship pastor and the lead pastor are friends, it's a good thing. Pastor Gary's like, amen. when you know the other person so well, it brings an atmosphere of trust that we can go anywhere in God together. And that's what we get to do this out of. And so it's so beautiful. I hope is going to be so blessed by you and what you're going to bring in leadership. So one more time, let's give her a round of applause. Yeah. So when we talk about worship, we could talk for months about it. Worship is such a broad topic, and we have about 30 minutes. We could talk in regards to how we worship with our time, how we worship with our finances, how we worship with our affections, with our thoughts, with what we value. You know, in fact, Romans 12, Paul says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. I mean, we're to offer our entire self in worship, right? It's such a big thing. We could spend months on it, and we will over the next years. But today, we want to specifically talk about worship in regards to the corporate expression, meaning why do we worship the way we do when we gather together, and what happens when we sing, play, and celebrate and gather in the presence of the Lord? How many ready for that today? Yeah, so we're gonna jump into that. So Charity, I just want you to just maybe open up and just share how you came into all of this.
Good morning. Wow, that's really hard to sit there and have somebody talk about you like you're okay. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And last night I was just I've told this story of how this all happened. So the part Josh didn't say is that when he came to me in October and said, this is what's getting ready to come down the pike, I want you to do this. And I said, I don't think so. it took me a while to get on the same page with the Lord, and not because I didn't care about it, because I cared about it a lot. And I really, really, really wrestled with it with the Lord, because I believe not only for worship on the planet, but for worship here at Hope, that what he has in store for us is so important that it's not something that you take lightly and that you say yes to just because you think it might be fun. So I'm really, really honored. If any of you came in our Wednesday nights, I think February, March, April, around that time, I spoke on worship for about 7 weeks or so. And so I went into some of my story there, and I won't get into all of that today. But I was raised in a pastor's home. My dad still pastors. He's actually, a little update, most of you know he had a stroke in February and hasn't really been able to speak and stuff very good, but I called him yesterday, and he and his associate pastor are co-preaching today for the first time since his stroke, and so he's going to be, thank you, Jesus. He's going to be preaching some today, so I'm really thrilled for that. But so I grew up in a pastor's home. It was a Pentecostal home, so I knew what the Holy Ghost was from a really early age, and practiced on my brother and sister, casting them in the spirit, you know. Basically, which meant just pushed them down. I was like, fall now. Yeah. So that's how I was raised. but I knew what the presence of the Lord was before I could probably explain what that was, you know, a feeling in a room of manifest presence. And so grew up in that. My dad mostly has pastored small churches my whole life. And so literally I had like played the piano during a song service one day when I was about 7 because the woman didn't show up. So I've been doing this a really long time, and I it was amazing. We did this song called It's Raining. Does anybody here know that? No way. Yes. Oh, Caroline, of course you do. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. Okay, I'll spare you the rest. So I love the church, and kind of didn't want to do church work for a while, and then came back around and ended up here at Evangel in the fall of 1995. Evangel just sent me my, has it been 20 years? Like, letter. I know. It's like not a good day. Okay. So anyway, I came here to school. I signed up. There were no worship degrees or anything like that at the time, but worship was just coming on the scene when I got to school. And what I mean by that is like what we know now as the genre. There was no iTunes. There was no, you know, I mean, we still had tapes. But it was this thing that was happening. Like Darlene Check had just come out with Shout to the Lord, right? It was like these things were happening all around the world, the Vineyard. And Evangel hadn't quite caught up to where all that stuff that was happening yet. And so there were just groups of students that would gather and had heard somehow through a friend or whatever. There was no internet still, barely. But, I mean, they taught us a class on what the internet was while I was in school. So it makes me sound really old. Anyway. So, but that's where I met Josh and then met Christy and, other worship leaders. We've had Jason Upton here. He was there at the same time. There was just, the Lord was doing a lot, and worship was happening, right before our eyes, this like new thing. And, during that time, I took a trip, to Toronto, to some services. And, but there was one moment, and the reason I mentioned this, I was telling Josh yesterday, I think for all of us, if you have a moment that you can go back to, that you know marked your life for something, it can be for good or it can be for bad, right? A moment that like really solidified who you were going to be. And this was that moment for me. But I sat in a workshop called Prophetic Worship. I had no idea what prophetic worship was. They were still singing I'll Fly Away at my dad's church. no offense to I'll Fly Away, but you know what I mean? It was just, this was a different world for me. And I sat there, and this woman started talking about just how the Holy Spirit can move through music with words, music without words. And she played the violin. Her name was Ruth Faisal. And we talked through a lot of things, even just remember the story with, King Saul and David, right? When he was troubled. If you don't know that story, you can look it up. But when King Saul was troubled, he would call for someone to come and play and, over him. And so she talked through a lot of different things. There's really no way to get in all that right now, but, she asked us at the end to close our eyes, and she wanted just to play some music over us and ask the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wanted to do with us in that moment. And I was sitting there, 19 years old, I guess, and in this metal chair. And I was kind of freaked out, just some other things I'd seen over the week that I was like, what is happening, you know? But I sat there, I was so intrigued by it because I loved music so much. And I sat there and I closed my eyes and I started to cry and I started feeling the feeling that I knew that was the presence of the Lord was he was like close. He was so close. And I sat there and then the next thing I knew, I just felt my body kind of. And then I woke up 2 hours later on the floor. Nobody bothered to get me up. I had great friends. No. I don't know. I've said this before when I've told the story. I don't know what happened in those 2 hours. But I know when I got up, first of all, I was more in love with Jesus than ever. But I knew that whatever she had released that day was something that I had to have. That moment where you connect people to the heart of the Father in this way. And we all each have this a unique opportunity and invitation to be able to connect people to the Father in whatever he's gifted you in. But this just happened to be the place that I loved, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. And so it was that moment. And so when we were talking yesterday, I'm like, you know, when you've been, or I'm going to use restaurant because I love food, you guys. I love it real good. When you go to a restaurant and you eat somewhere that's like amazing, like the kind where you can't even like talk to your friends at the table, or you're like, oh, you know. Because it's so good. Like, immediately when you see another person, right? You're like, you have to go, right? You have to go try this. You have to. No, for real. Like, you have to go. Or if you've been to a city and you come back and you hear somebody else saying, I'm about to go to this city, what do you say? When you're there, you have to do this, right? And that's kind of how I felt about it and still do feel about it. This place that I know where the Lord has brought healing in my life, has brought restoration in my life, has brought joy in the middle of intense sorrow. All these things that I can say about this place of worship, all I know is that I just want everybody around me to be in it with me. And that's really, really my heart and kind of the basic premise of what I believe in. And I know why Josh and I and Christy have connected so well, because we are on the same page. When we say that we've tasted and seen, we really have tasted and seen. And once you've tasted something, you have to tell somebody else about it, and you want them to come along with you. And that's why we do what we do here, because it first started out of personal experience. The Lord encountered me. And then after it was over, you can't go back. You can try to have a normal day here or there, but that thing that you know as manifest presence, when it comes around, you cannot not respond to it. And so there you go. That's you can go to the next thing.
So good, isn't it? That, yeah. There's so much to say. We might need to make this a two-parter. I'm not sure. We're so connected on that heart level with the Lord, because both of our stories are very similar, and I've shared some of that with you over the last couple of months, but just early on encountering God in such a powerful way that it changed you in such a way that you just couldn't do religious routine, right? Have you ever been there? If you haven't, get ready, because it's going to happen. I remember this moment where I was a nice little music pastor, and it was, you know, two hymns and a worship chorus. And I remember the very night that God shook my life, and the power of God touched me. I shared it in one of the services, I can't remember which one, in such a way that my physical body began to shake, because the power of God was touching me in such a way. I didn't know what was happening. I was embarrassed. I actually asked them to remove me from the stage because I didn't want to shake in front of people. It was at the end of a service. And I'll never forget, it went on for about an hour. And I have to tell you that after that moment, my life was never the same, because he shook the care of what other people thought and the fear of man out of my life. And in that moment, I knew that an encounter with God is what people needed, not just good music. Good music doesn't change anyone. We want good music. Amen? Amen. We want good music. It needs to be excellent. But what we want more is it to be dripping with the anointing and the power of God. Because that will change a society. That will change and transform lives when He is there. And so the priority of the presence of God upon our worship times is our priority. We're not looking to create a form. We never walked into this saying, let's worship for as long as we possibly can so people get wore out and sit down. We have a plan every time we come into worship, just so you understand. There's a song list. We've done all the work. We prepared. We've rehearsed. But in the moment that we come to worship, we submit that plan to the Lord for the real time of the Holy Spirit. That is how our church will flow. It has and it will continue that we're saying, God, we want to be in the flow with you. There are things we know ahead of time, and there's sometimes things that you don't speak to us ahead of time that we only can figure out in the moment. And so in our worship times, it's the same. In our corporate times, I want you to know that if there's moments of stillness and it might feel slow to you, the worship leaders aren't just trying to figure out what the heck to do. They're actually waiting on the Lord. We're actually saying, God, we have a plan, but we're not going to just push through with this plan. We want your heart and we want your manifest presence in this room. Amen. Yeah, so I just wanted to say this, you know, when you've been marked by God, it changes how you look at everything. And we at our core believe that hope has a special touch from God in the area of worship. We believe that many people come here because they know they're going to come and they're going to experience God and be filled and refreshed as they pour out to Him. And you have anything you want to say about that? I think you do.
Yeah.
We have a loose plan here.
We do have a plan. Yeah, I wanted to speak just a little bit to the thing about time. So because what we value in our lives, we will give time to. Right? We could say that about anything. I won't go back and talk about restaurants. But we will. Whatever it is that you value in your life, if you truly value it, you will give time to it. And so it's never bothered me how long worship is or whatever, or, you know, that kind of thing. But like he said, this isn't a... when we started this all that time ago, the reason I talk about worship not being a thing, we never set out to like be like a brand of church. You know, there's like different brands out there now. There's the Hillsong, there's Bethel, there's Gateway, there's, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with any of that. But that was never the intent to like look like a place. We just knew that we loved the presence of the Lord. And one day I was out in the foyer. I came in and I didn't recognize the lady. Hopefully you're not here today. No, I heard, I could tell she only been here a few times, but she came in the middle of worship and she said to a person standing out there, "Are they still doing worship?" You know, of course my ears are like, so I just kind of stood there for a minute and she looked at her watch and she was like, okay, what a waste. Like, are they going to do that for how long are they going to do that? Is that when you want to walk up and go, "Hi, I'm one of the worship leaders here. Nice to meet you." No, I felt a little mad and then I felt all the things. I'm like, is this how Jesus felt before he turned all those tables over? No. You will worship for 5 hours.
The next time she led, it was like a 3-hour worship time.
It was a 3-hour worship service. Yeah. No, but I honestly, you know how you have like a lot levels of emotions, you know? But I really feel like what at the end of it was, like I felt sad. I really did. And I was like, Lord, like what is this that we, why is that about this particular thing? Because when we go sit in a movie, unless it's a terrible movie, like The Notebook. I talked to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, why would anybody put themselves through this torturous pain? But you don't. Sorry if you love that. Bless you. Like, if you love paying for self-infliction. Like, okay. Why we don't sit in movies? We don't sit in other like things that we do in our life and like wonder if it's going to be over soon, right? Like if you are in it, if it's a movie that you're like in, we're not like, you know, you're like in it. I'm like, I feel like the Lord is really asking us to be a people, to be a church that we are in it with Him. Like we are in it all with Him. And that encounter in the foyer, well, she didn't know it was an encounter because she didn't know I heard her. But that encounter is actually what the song we sing, "This is your time, this is your place, this is my life, oh, I want to waste it all on you." And that's why I put that word in there. Because there are people that look at a room full of people sitting here for an hour like this as a waste. They see it as a waste of your time. And I'm here to tell you today, no time in worship ever, whether in here or more importantly in your home, is ever a waste of your time. It's never a waste. There are always things going on in the Spirit. It's a spirit-to-spirit encounter. He can do things in a moment that years and years of talking and trying to figure it out and trying to sort through it all, that it would never happen. He can go right in and do the work that He wants to do in those moments. So really, the biggest thing to say with time and presence is all that, and just to let you know that we are not here to try to torture you. Maybe you torture your flesh. But that is not the intent of here. The intent is that the presence of God is priority, and that we say when something is a priority, we give it time. And that is why we do what we do. So
good. Yeah. I've led a few sets that went really long that should have been more like 30 minutes. Can go the other way too. Do you hear what I'm saying? You didn't get it. No, what I'm saying is like we're not just trying to go long for long. Like there's times maybe what God wanted to do was in 20 or 30 minutes. And sometimes what God wanted to do is it might take an hour. Sometimes it depends on how ready we are and how long it takes us to thaw out. I'm speaking to myself, too. I'm talking to myself. Hey, I just say this, too. Kind of frame it like this. You know, you hear these ideas of seeker-sensitive or churches or whatever. And I want to just say this, that everything that we're doing at Hope, from in the parking lot to guest services to all the ways that we reach and open up our arms to the world around us and everyone, we want to be super seeker-sensitive in all the things we do out there. But when we come in this room, we're spirit sensitive because we believe that as we're sensitive to Him, He will do what needs to be done. If we're available and we allow Him to lead us in here. Not that we don't allow Him to lead us out there, we do. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're really thinking about everyone out there, but when we come in here, we're gazing at Him. That's the priority. So I want to talk real quick. We wanted to talk about expressions of worship when we gather, when we worship. Worship is a response, right? So I wanted to just shoot out since we're our time here. You've heard the scripture, in everything give thanks, right? I will enter His gates with thanksgiving. I'll enter His courts with praise. You've heard that one too. So that's our posture. We begin everything with thanksgiving, right? That's how we walk into this. We're learning to give thanks in every circumstance. How many have walked in here before on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and it has been a major shift in your life to begin to thank God? Because of your circumstance. Those are the moments that are powerful. When you don't feel it and you press in. Amen? We begin with that. regardless of the obstacles in our life, we begin with thanks. And I just wanted to talk real quick about some expressions of worship. Some people say, man, they're wild and crazy at Hope. If you want wild worship, go to Hope. I actually don't think it's that wild. I've been to some wild. Most times we're pretty calm, right? I don't know, maybe not. So I wanted to give you a little Bible for some of what we do. How many say the Bible is important? It's good. It's good. Expressions of worship. The Psalms exhort and encourage us to be demonstrative, to be extravagant in our worship. And so I wanted to hit a few of these Hebrew words for praise. If you speak Hebrew well, I hope I don't offend you because I don't. But I wanted to hit a few of these scriptures and these Hebrew words that exhort us to worship the Lord extravagantly. And this first one, I think they're going to be on the screen. This first one, halal, is to praise, to celebrate hilariously, be clamorously foolish. That sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? Rave, to boast, to make a show in the best way, to shine. Psalm 113:1 says, praise, you could say, halal the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. This is the reason why we celebrate the way we do. We praise, we celebrate, we go for it. Okay, next one. We'll see how this gets you. Yada is to worship with extended, uplifted hands. Let's lift up our hands right now. To praise, to give thanks, to willfully throw up your hands. Not just when the worship leader says, lift your hands. To willfully do it. Psalm 107. Oh, that men would give thanks, could say yada, to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Psalm 63:4. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will yada. I will lift up my hands. So that's a biblical reason why we lift our hands in worship. Amen? I think most of us, if you're coming to Hope, you're okay with lifting of the hands, right? Yeah. This next one, giel, to spin around under the influence of strong emotion. Some of us aren't quite ready to giel. To spin like a top, like whew, to rejoice and be glad. It's translated rejoice. Psalm 31:7. I will rejoice. I will giel. And be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. When you've realized that realization of what he's done, you want a giel. Right? I mean, seriously. Seriously, and there's moments where that is appropriate, right? I mean, I think about the scripture, those who've been forgiven much, love much. I mean, when you have been delivered and you've been set free, sometimes it's time to giel. I'm not saying you do it every time. I'm saying that there's moments where you release worship and praise and thanksgiving back to God for what he has done. This next one, Allah's, to rejoice, to exult, to jump for joy. Jumping. Karar, to leap, to twirl, to dance. That's what David did in 2 Samuel 6. David danced before the Lord with all his might. That's what he did. That's what that means there. He was leaping. He was twirling. He was dancing. He was celebrating. He was free. The next one, pazaz, to leap, to spring, as if separating the limbs. Be careful on this one. You could throw your back out. Right? 2 Samuel 6:16. This is what David was doing when the ark was being brought back in. And his Michael looked out and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him. That's what he was doing. He was doing a little pizzazz. He had a little pizzazz. Right? He was doing a little separating of the limbs.
Pastor Gary's going to demonstrate right now.
Could Pastor Gary come up here and demonstrate a little pizzazz?
Little pizzazz.
For real, though. Shabbat, to praise, to shout, to address in a loud voice as in triumph. Come on. Psalm 117:1. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. That's what we're talking about. It's not like, praise the Lord. It is like, praise the Lord. It's like, it's a shout. So when we shout in this place, we say, let's lift up a shout of praise. The Psalms are exhorting us to do it. It's a biblical thing to be doing. Barak, to kneel in adoration, to bless. You'll see people kneeling. You'll see people bowing. Makal, to dance, dancing, a single or group dance. We'll stick to the single dance. It's a lot of the culture, Hebrew culture, you know, they would dance in groups. But the point is that they were dancing. Psalm 149:3 says, let them praise his name with dancing. As people get freaked out at dancing, I understand. I remember the first church I went into that had, when I was real young and I just started leading worship, and there was a guitar there and the worship leader was leading from a guitar, and I thought it was so weird. I thought, this is such a weird church. And now look at us. We're a weird church. The guitars are everywhere. You know what I mean? So sometimes our personal preference, our personal perspectives of things, we think things are weird, and then all of a sudden we look at the Bible and we're like, oh, it actually encourages us to dance before the Lord. Zamar, to touch the string, related to percussion, wind, or rhythm instruments. Tehillah, to sing praises. It's the last one. Public adoration, a song or a hymn of praise. Psalm 47:6 says, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. We're pretty okay with the singing. But do you hear what I'm saying here? There is an exhortation to demonstrate our worship physically when we gather together. Dancing, singing, celebrating, shouting. I'll never forget this time. There was a worship service several years back. And there was a man that was sitting about right here. I've shared this before. On the front row, I'd never seen him. And he sat during the worship I was leading, and he was sitting there like this. And I just noticed him, and then I kind of had to ignore it a little bit. But I thought, man, he hates worship today. And he is not lifting his hands, and he's not. And after the worship set, or after the service, he started walking up the stairs, and I thought, uh-oh. Here we go. He's going to let me have it, you know? And he got up there and he said, tears in his eyes, he said, I have to tell you how unbelievable this worship time was today. Amazing. I could really tell. I could really tell you were into it. And it's fine. We're not looking for a form. We're not saying everybody needs to dance and shout and twirl and be crazy. But we're saying that there are moments where those expressions are necessary, because nothing less will satisfy. Because it is our response. It is our response. Chair, do you have anything you want to say about that? Okay. How about we talk just a minute, because then we got to worship. It's already late. You want to just hit on that Colossians and spontaneous?
Yeah. I just wanted to, this is such a big topic, but just really quick, I wanted to talk through why we do spontaneous singing here. And if you don't know what that means, we stop singing the song that was written, and we hear something from the Lord, and usually someone up here will sing something out. And it could be just one thing that you hear. Sometimes it'll be a shorter line where we can repeat it enough to where you can sing it. But I just wanted to read Colossians 3:16 for you today. That kind of gives some context for that. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. And so that's this moment when he talked earlier about sometimes when you see the leaders up here and we're kind of in between songs and we just are kind of holding. It really is a time not only for us, but for you to engage your heart with the Holy Spirit. that you can be asking him what is he saying, or just to be quiet before him so that he can speak to you. But sometimes in those moments, he will give us things that our room corporately needs to hear so that we can all join in on that spontaneous song given by the Spirit to sing together. And it could be for any number of reasons, but we just wanted to give some explanation today as to why we do that and why it's important that we follow him when he gives us something, that we follow him where he's going.
That's good. Just in our last minute or two, we value so much, Pastor Gary has from the very beginning, an atmosphere of freedom and worship. How many think that's important? Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." In other words, it isn't just routine. There is a freedom and a liberty. And I believe that when we gather together, and we're following the heart of the Lord, you're going to have one person that's shouting, one person that's silent. You're going to have one person that just got free and delivered, dancing like crazy and spinning. And you're going to have somebody else that's standing there just still before the Lord. We're not trying to create a form. What we're talking about is an atmosphere of freedom where people can express to the Lord his worth and his greatness and his greatness. And I just say this too, freedom doesn't mean that anything and everything goes. Right? Can you give me a smile on that one? And I've had to address and speak to things, you know, several times over the years that were beyond what I felt was appropriate for our gatherings. But in those rare moments, I do it as a father, not as an enforcer. Because the kingdom is family. Right? And I've said it before, I'd rather have a little bit of wildfire than no fire. I'd much rather have to calm somebody down a little bit than to say, hey, let's worship Jesus and nobody move. I'd rather have an environment where people are radically expressing their worship to God than one where that isn't happening. Amen? I think that's why you're here. But I want to tell you that my commitment to you as the pastor is that we're going to protect what God is doing. That we're going to protect what he's doing, and we're not going to stifle or control, and we're going to protect the atmosphere. And when things need to be talked about, we'll talk about them. As a spiritual father, spiritual mothers, we'll talk to people. But I want you to know that you can worship here freely, and if something seems a little off, you can know that there are people and leadership in place that want to protect what God is doing, and it will be protected. Amen? Yeah, so I wanted to just say this. If somebody's worshiping extravagantly and it bothers you, here's what you do. Close your eyes. And gaze on Jesus. Because they're not here for you. They're not doing it for you. They're not performing for you. We got to get our eyes on Jesus, church. Amen? Come on, let's all stand.